The pasuk says, Esther asked, can we have one more day in Shushan? Why did Esther ask for one more day? The Talmud says, the students asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, why was there such a decree against us in that generation? So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said to them, what do you guys say? They said, because they enjoyed from the meal of Achashverosh. So then Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked them, then the decree should have been only against those in Shushan. It was only the Jews in Shushan that ate from the meal. Why is it that there was a decree against everyone? So they asked him, okay, Rebbe, you have a good question. So then why? He said, what do you say? He said, because all the Jews bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. So you see that there was a double claim against the Jews in Shushan. There was a claim against them. They also bowed against the idol, but they also partook of the meal. And that's why they needed a double atonement. So on the 13th, everyone went to war, and they fought for retaining their Judaism, and that itself was an atonement, because when they bowed to the idol, they said, we can't be different than the nations, it's a danger for us, we're going to bow to the idol. Now on Purim, they're fighting, and they're saying, we're Jews, and we're standing up for our monotheism. They're doing the exact opposite of bowing to the idol. They're saying, yes, we're monotheists, and we're going to stand up for our monotheism, and even if we have to go to war over it, we're not giving in. So they risked their lives on Purim, on Kiddush Hashem. They risked their lives saying, yes, we are monotheists, and even if we're outnumbered, we're fighting for it. Esther says, give me another opportunity on the 14th for the Jews in Shushan to do it, because the Jews in Shushan needed a greater dedication. They had fallen twice. They had not only bowed to the idol, they had also went and enjoyed the meal, which was a meal showing the Jews are no longer the chosen nation. God is no longer with them. They have to fight for their Jewish identity more in order to gain back what they lost over this period. What Rav Harlap really did here is give us a totally different perspective on the story of Purim. We're accustomed to thinking the Jews had the king's backing. The king had sent out a decree. So of course they fought for their lives and they won. They had an opportunity to take revenge from their enemies. What Rav Harlap is saying is, they went to war, they could have lost. They went to war on Purim. So what if the king said they're entitled to go to war? What do you think? The Amalekim didn't put up a fight? They didn't get their armor ready and say, we know the Jews are coming after us? So the Jews went out against their enemies. There was a war on that day. There was a one-day war. And the Jews had to fight that war. And there were risks intrinsic to that war. And the Jews only succeeded in that war, like Moshe Rabbeinu did in the war with Amalek, because they said, we believe in monotheism. We're not giving in. But if you think about it, it changes the nature of the story. Because then you start asking yourself, how did Achashverosh know this wouldn't spiral into a massive civil war? If there was war, imagine you let your citizens have one day of war. Well, how do you know how it'll go? Achashverosh, the way Rav Harlap is portraying it, so then Achashverosh is saying, you guys have one day to go against your enemies. Those are the enemies of the state. Whoever is the enemy of the Jews, the enemy of the state. You're allowed to fight them. They're the people, they're the problematic people I was talking about all along, Achashverosh. I didn't mean the Jews. When I said the one scattered people who are trouble to my kingdom, I meant the Amalekites. The Jews can go fight them now. Well, Achashverosh must have been so powerful that he wasn't scared. That he knew he could allow this havoc to happen for a day, nothing would happen. If you say they'll fight the Jews, I could understand that. No, the Jews were downtrodden people. So a pogrom happens. I don't know of any state that it destroyed in all our history having a pogrom. I don't know that right away riots ensued and it caused a civil war. But what Achashverosh did here, that it certainly shows his might. He wasn't scared of doing it.
Malbim talks a lot about how strong he had as a kingdom, as in his power as king.
But there must have been a chance. It's a great point that he could have lost, because all these people, all of a sudden, they hear, hey, the Jews now have the right to defend themselves. The king is now appointing Mordechai and Simon Jews, and still they attack, which meant that there must have been some chance they thought that they could win.
The Jews?
No, the Jews, of course, they were defending themselves. But there must have been some chance that the Goyim, normally you would say, hey, things don't look good now. The Jews, most likely, if the Goyim wouldn't have attacked them, we don't see any indication the Jews would have any reason to attack the Goyim at that point, because they were elevated already. Ashverosh was, giving Mordechai, right, the, power and this and that. So the Jews were allowed to defend themselves, but the question you have to ask is, he's saying is, hey, they wanted more than just to destroy the Jews. They wanted to overthrow the regime and Ashkenazi. And, you know, that's one reason they attacked, and they were armed and everything. It would seem, I mean, it's a good point, but it's not so crazy, because logically you'd say, hey, we'll wait till the Jews are weak again. When Ashkenaz gets out of favor, why should we do anything right now? But they felt they could win, seemingly. That's what he says, right?
I don't know.
Amalek, it seems like when they fought the Jewish people and they came out of Egypt, it was very clear that they would not win.
Right.
It was very clear that they were making a statement.
Right.
Yeah, but the point is, the nature of Amalek, the way I was taught, is they would prefer to destroy all the Jews and not commit suicide. If they have to commit suicide doing it, they're more than willing to do it.
That's why it seems like that was the perfect day to try.
But, and also here, I'm not so sure that everybody, you know, spiritually they were all descendants of Amalek, but this is 180 provinces, this is a lot of territory. It's not so much that everybody was Amalekite.
The Targum says big numbers of Amalek.
Yeah.
Big numbers, so I don't know.
That's another question I don't have an answer for. How big is the physical descendants of Amalek?
I don't know, yeah.
So I'm asking how much of this was a defensive war versus, also the Jews wouldn't necessarily attack if we weren't attacked.
He said that. Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
What are they looking to attack? If Hashem
says... You have a mitzvah to kill Amalek, so if the king says you can kill right now,
right,
and you know where the Amalekim lives,
totally,
you go and you kill.
Yeah, in those days, it was clear to them who was Amalek, then, my statement is totally wrong.
That's not the mitzvah to kill Amalek. Amalek is only when you have a king, and the king's responsibility is to wage war. That's what the Rambam says.
I mean, right now...
Why does Haggai not institute as a king in that time?
No.
Right now, if our enemies say... Hey, listen, we recognize I'm Israel.
Some Andrew doesn't either?
Huh.
Right. Right now, you know, I'm Israel. Our enemies say, you know what? We all recognize I'm Israel as the right to this land. And we want them to go and set up a kingdom to the line of David. And we're either out of here or we'll be Ger Tashavim, whatever it is. Is it logical that we're going to want to kill them? Doesn't make sense. I don't think. Of course, it's a different situation.